the first sermon in a series entitled Church, Why Bother?
Sermon 1, an intro. I'm going to read a couple of scripture verses, and I want your mind to wander a bit. Even jot down some immediate reactions, if you'd care to, like the words or phrases that really grab your attention as we consider Church, Why Bother? From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The second scripture from Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Now you may also note in your bulletin a couple abbreviated definitions of some words we throw around quite a bit in conversations about church. First, the word church. The English translation for the Greek word ekklesia, meaning gathering or assembly. In Scripture we find most of two words to refer to the gatherings of believers, synagogue and ekklesia. Since the Jewish tradition first claimed synagogue, the followers of Jesus, who still longed for a familiar word, affiliated the scriptures, and they opted for the word church. Second word, religion. The English translation from Greek is rarely found in the scripture. If used or inferred, it is found mostly in Paul's letters. So we need to move to the secular definition, a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as a creation of superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances and often containing a moral code, governing the conduct of human affairs. That sounds fun. So how we doing? Kind of primed and ready, I hope? Because here we go. Now thanks to Emma Green for her article in The Atlantic, it's going to serve as my introduction to my sermon series. She writes, "The standard narrative of American religious decline goes something like this. A few hundred years ago, European and American intellectuals began doubting the validity of God as an explanatory mechanism for natural life. As science became a more widely accepted method for investigating and understanding the physical world, religion became a less viable way of thinking, not just about medicine and mechanics, but also culture and politics and economics and every other sphere of public life. As the United States became more secular, people slowly began drifting away from faith." Now, I imagine there are many who would agree with summary. I know I would. But Emma argues it doesn't really step far enough back, or maybe I should say close enough in, saying, for one thing, the U.S. is still overwhelmingly religious, despite years of predictions about religion's demise. A significant number of people who don't identify with any particular faith group still say they believe in God, and roughly 40% pray daily or weekly. Certainly there are private practice changes, but the most significant shift has been in the way people publicly practice their faith. Americans, and particularly young Americans, are less likely to attend services or identify with a religious group than they have at any time in recent history. Now, in today's surveys, they've gained their own title. They're called the nuns. Truly, the why bother with church folk. For the next several weeks, you and I are going to poke at this topic. I so hope that each of us will take a special effort not only to attend, but pay attention to personal ruminations, like why you attend worship in a church space, and why you attend this particular gathering. Be honest with yourself. Be honest about this community. Be honest about your cultural narrative and tendencies. Are you a joiner, a questioner, a leader, a follower, a resister? Because someone just might want to really know, and know why they might consider involvement in a community of faith. So let's start with the Disciples of Christ churches, one style or gathering. Our denomination is interesting, somewhat of a minority of active ecclesiastic, especially evangelical Christian expressions. I encourage you to check out the general or national webpage. Take one of those brochures in your pew pocket and study up.
And know that our ideology and theology are both a blessing and a curse because we value intellect. That means we encourage folks to not check their brain at the door. We encourage diverse consideration. Keebler Christians, we are not. Nope, this is not a cookie-cutter Christian factory. Which means that we can believe in God and science. That we can believe that Scripture is both holy and contains human perspectives and filters from the hand and age in which it was written. In short, a socio-historic perspective. And that we may know the constructs of an atomic unit, we do not have to know the complete construct of the universe to believe or have faith. In fact, faith is not having all of the dots connect, yet still believing. But with this acceptance of mystery and ambiguity, with this subtext of being a thinking and reasoning church, comes the loss of the power-broking element which has kept generations of Christians in the pews for centuries, and that is fear. You know, fear of damnation for not following the rules of one's religion, which often gives credence that time in the pew gains entrance into the kingdom, like we're all sitting here in a plane on the tarmac to heaven. So church, why bother, when even the believers can't agree on a model? And that paired with the ever-increasing perception of Christians as a whole being a judgmental group that hates difference, diversity, those folks that sit or run outside our margins. That we love the Keebler Christian model. Oh, it's so frustrating to be lumped in with the soundbite Christians. You know, the ones that get the mic. They walk with the sandwich boards or they gather in rallies reinforcing the message that some are in and some definitely are out. Folks like you and me are often heard saying, oh, don't worry, we're not those kinds of Christians. Okay, this is nothing new, right? So let's move on to some other findings in our friend Emma's report. Pew Research has a new survey showing while Americans on the whole aren't going to church like they used to, there are still many people who are actually going more, and there are those who believe and don't go, but they have a variety of reasons. One, logistics, it's just too hard to get there. Or two, lack of trust of organized religion. We've already mentioned that problem. Number three, it's just not a priority. They would rather Sabbath with the New York Post or Sunday brunch at Hotcakes. Conversely, to those not attending, there are a quarter of believers with increased involvement, indicating a stirring, which I believe has never left the populace. Spiritually curious folks seeking community, seeking authentic and real and open discussions about faith and God and how all of it intersects with the world. We get that, right? In spite of the times when we step on one another's toes, we know that with God's encouragement, we continue to gather to forgive ourselves, forgive others, and model and live within a model that embraces the warts and hairs of humanity as our God has embraced us. Church, yes, please, I will bother. But when others ask it, we best be ready, which will require an honest look inside at the closets and the corners and the dust under the bed stuff. In particular for this congregation, and how the stuff in here affects our out there, our reputation, our curb appeal to go all marketing on you. How does what we do in here affect how you and I engage the world? If the time spent here has no impact on your life, doesn't stir or challenge you daily, then something is up, and we need to own it. Who you are, not only here in this church, but out there, your attitude towards self and others, it matters. Take that 1 Corinthians 13 challenge. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you one that doesn't keep records of wrongs? You know the passage. Only after that reflection can we enthusiastically engage other and why they might like it in here or not. So over the next weeks, with the help from another writer, Philip Yancey, and his book, Church, Why Bother, we'll ponder, like Yancey and his good friend Eugene Peterson, way back in 1998. We'll ponder this topic. Yep, like Yancey and his friends, we're going to need to be open and honest about self and system. Yancey himself has had a roller coaster journey with church and religion. He was raised in a fire and brimstone Southern Baptist church until he had a revelation, a stirring which soon turned to a disillusionment with the church due to the religion of his local church. Yancey stepped away for some time, which is becoming quite common for many. Following Jesus is one thing, Yancey says. Following other Christians into a sanctuary on Sunday morning is quite another. Why bother? And then quoting Anne Sexton, who wrote, "They pounded nails into his hands, and after that, well, after that, everyone wore hats." Yancey's barriers aren't unique. He struggled with the hypocrisy of those who claim to be Christian, or at least the way folks waltz around the ethics of Christ. No wonder folks outside our religious circle have files filled with critique. You know, atheistic philosopher Nietzsche was quoted in saying, "I would believe in their salvation if they looked a little more like people who have been saved." Kind of like someone who said their new weight loss diet was working great, but kept gaining more and more fluffy girth. Or, of course, Gandhi's famous quote when asked by Christian missionary Stanley Jones, "Mr. Gandhi, though you quote the words of Christ often, why is it that you appear so adamantly to reject becoming a follower?" Gandhi replied, "Oh, I don't reject Christ. I love Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unchristlike." Another barrier for Yancey was that he considered culturally irrelevant expressions of worship, well, not worth bothering with. During his wilderness walk, the diversity in worship styles was not. For him, rigidity and structure was not inspiring. 11 o'clock Sunday morning, segregated, often uncomfortable seating for unreasonably long amounts of time, dated and unengaging hymns, 30-plus minute lectures. Shoot, even schools have learned this is a horrible teaching model. And I tell you this as I present a longer-than-usual message. How ironic. But I get it, especially for those who have never felt part of or have been part of a positive ecclesiastic experience. And, to make matters worse, the longer folks have been away, the more uncomfortable they will be. Does this mean we have to change everything? Nah, not really. But we do need to develop a spirit of empathy. It's so important. Looking at our experience through the eyes of those returning or as a new attender, it's really important for us to do. The good news, Yancey, like others, reconciled the good with the bad, and like others, returned. Sure, it took time to fully re-engage, but eventually slipping into church was like slipping in to some comfy slippers. Slippers that might be rough around the edges. Some people even tape the corners, don't they, with duct tape. But they're comfortable. Quite frankly, he said, he kind of lowered his expectations, not expecting his local church to be the slick and well-oiled robotic machine, but the organic, very human attempt to give God a gift of appreciation. Who doesn't appreciate a good homemade gift? Yes, Yancey returned with a new understanding that when he and when others abandon the church, not only does the church suffer from their absence, but the one that steps away suffers a great loss as well. Faith fades, a commitment to others slips away, and as he puts it, the crusty shell of lovelessness grows over me. Yes, Yancey returned with a new way of looking at the old girl, knowing the church, it's worth the bother.